Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, April 27. As we continue studying the account of Christ's resurrection as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, John begins his account by spotlighting Mary Magdalene and her undying devotion to Christ. We read, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." And though we know that Mary did not come alone, because the other synoptic accounts tell us that she came with a group of women, John only mentions Mary because of those who came, she was the most devoted of the bunch. She was the last one to leave the cross, and therefore the first one to see the empty tomb, and later in the chapter, the first one to see the risen Christ. And Christ richly rewards Mary's love and loyalty and devotion. But if this is a record of Mary's devotion, it's also a record of greater zeal than knowledge, because verse 2 says, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter." In other words, she left the tomb and ran back to wherever Peter was, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." She runs. She comes. She says. And she says they've stolen the body of Christ. She finds the empty tomb, but she does not understand the significance. She thinks that somebody has stolen the body of Christ. She has arrived at a wrong and hasty conclusion. Why? Well, because she hadn't been paying close attention to what the Lord had said. And this often happens to many of God's people. There's always a danger of jumping to unwarranted and hasty conclusions about spiritual matters. And when we do so, it's an indication that we are not as saturated with scriptural understanding as we ought to be. It is an indication that we are being more governed by experience than by faith in the Word of God. It is a reminder that we are far too prone to walk by sight rather than by faith. And all of these things are evidenced in the life of Mary. Though she drank in the words of Christ with great eagerness, she did not meditate upon the Word of God as she should have. She did not analyze the Word of God that was given to her to the extent that she should have. She did not latch on to the words of Christ by faith to believe that which seemed impossible when Christ told his disciples, as he told all of them at one time or another, that he would both die and rise from the dead. But, of course, who's ever seen a resurrection? Not many, though some of the disciples of Christ actually had witnessed the resurrection of the son of the widow of Nain or of Lazarus from the grave. But nevertheless, if Christ is gone, if he has died, and he's the only one who can raise the dead, then what hope is there for his resurrection? Who could raise him? And so it seems impossible. It seems like there's just no way it can happen. It's beyond the realm of possibility because it is beyond the realm of human experience up till now. Our Lord says it, but we can't believe it. Even believers don't always believe the Word of God. Even genuine, born-again disciples of Christ don't always believe all of the Word of God. Genuine believers in Jesus Christ have believed the gospel and have believed many things about the Word of God. You can't be an unbelieving believer, that is, unbelieving in any kind of significant way, But yes, you can be an unbelieving believer in various parts and parcels and portions of God's Word. You not only can be, dear friend, you are. We all are. We are all unbelievers in some areas of revealed truth. You say, well, you're telling on yourself now. What portions of God's Word are you not believing? Frankly, I don't know. If I knew what they were, I'd stop it right now. I don't want to be an unbeliever about anything. But by observation, as I look at the lives of others, and even some of the greatest men of God, I realize that all of God's men have certain areas where they have failed to grapple with the revelation of Scripture, or at least so it seems to me, because some of the greatest men of God that I have learned from, profited from, esteem highly, read their writings or listen to their messages, but I find in all of them certain areas where it seems to me they are blind to certain aspects of God's truth, at least as that truth seems clear enough to me. And yet I'm sure the same thing is happening if mature believers are listening to me preach carefully. They are hearing some areas where I seem to be blind to them and unbelieving in certain areas. You know, if we knew what our blind spots were, they wouldn't be blind spots, would they? What's a blind spot? A blind spot is something where you can't see that you're not seeing. If you knew that you were blind in that area, if you knew you couldn't see in that area, then it wouldn't really be a blind spot, would it? Now, blind spot is not a biblical term, but I've come to realize that all of us have blind spots. And frankly, as I go to the Word of God, I know there are certain areas that I just can't fully understand. Sometimes I listen to people discussing certain portions of Scripture, or I read the discussions of others of certain portions of Scripture, and they seem to be very sure of their understanding of that passage, but in spite of everything, I read it, I listen to what they say, but it just doesn't click with me. And I have tried to live by the principle that if something doesn't commend itself to me, to my understanding as truth, that I'm not going to parrot it. I've done enough of that in the past, and I'm endeavoring not to do that anymore. You know what I mean by that. But in my early days of the ministry, I must confess I found myself many times on certain subjects just parroting what I had been taught, what others had preached or taught to me. And I knew when I was teaching certain things and preaching certain things, I knew that these were not things that I had come to see for myself in the Bible. But I thought people that I love and respect believe this. They see it in the Bible. They're wiser than I am. It must be true. I just haven't had enough time to study the Word of God enough to come to this understanding yet. I will in time. And so, in the meantime, I'll just preach what others have preached. That seems safe enough. If I preach what others that I have confidence in preach, then surely that's good enough for now in these areas that I haven't had time to come to my own conclusions about. And when I study more, I'll catch up in my understanding to where they are, and I'll be able to preach these same things out of personal conviction rather than parroting what others have said. But you know, a strange thing began to happen in some of these areas. As I started to study some of these puzzling and difficult passages, I began to see things differently than what some of the people that I had learned from had been greatly helped by. Men who had powerfully impacted my Christian life. Men that I have grown tremendously under. Men that I had heard the voice of Christ speaking to me in their ministry. No question about it. God had used them as instruments to speak His Word to my soul. I know that. As surely as I'm sitting here today, I know that. And yet, in spite of all of that, certain things, when I got into some of these more difficult passages, I began to see something different. It's, in some cases, virtually the opposite of what my beloved teachers had taught to me. Now that puts you in a bit pretty perplexing situation. And I began to realize that it's a dangerous thing to teach secondhand truth. It's a dangerous thing to simply be a parrot. If people want to know what somebody else taught and said, then they can go listen to them. They can buy their tapes. They can buy their books. Why should they listen to me regurgitate what somebody else has taught? Now, frankly, all of us preachers are indebted to others. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. None of us arrives at truth totally by himself. None of us is independent of others. And frankly, what I'm talking about is when I began to study certain areas of Scripture and come to different conclusions than some of the people that I had followed up until that point, I began to read and study and find that there were other men, godly men, capable men, who saw things the way that I was seeing them. In fact, they helped me to see them even more clearly in that direction. In other words, I'm not talking about launching out into an independent interpretation of Scripture. That's dangerous. If I teach something that nobody else has ever taught before, shame on me. Because frankly, I don't think there are any new insights, understandings, interpretations of Scripture after 2,000 years, nearly, since the giving of the New Testament Scriptures, and longer than that for the Old Testament Scriptures. Somebody has already thunk it, taught it long before me. But as you know, there are a lot of competing interpretations. And sometimes the most godly men and the men that have been most used of God in your life, as in mine, are right on many things, but may be mistaken on some things. In fact, I can make that stronger, are undoubtedly mistaken on some things. We all are. Nobody has all knowledge. Nobody has perfect understanding. Nobody. Not since Jesus Christ was upon the earth. Nobody. Not since the inspired apostles were upon the earth. And they didn't have perfect understanding in everything. They just had perfect understanding when it came to the Word of God that was given unto them. But even the apostles erred at times. You can find the record of that in Scripture. They were only infallibly protected when they were actually writing and speaking divine revelation. So nobody but Jesus Christ is perfect all the time. Nobody but Jesus Christ has perfect understanding in everything. I don't. You don't. And the preacher you admire the most doesn't. But it ought to be our endeavor to continue to study, and to, by the help and grace of God, come to the most accurate understanding of God's Word as we possibly can. And when we err, like Mary did here, great goof, running away from the tomb and concluding that the body of Christ had been stolen, how blind is Mary? But then, how blind are all of us? And that should make us humble and willing to keep on studying. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.